The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You've got to be carefully taught. What a perfect way to move into this thinking. This wondering about what it is that we are taught as people of faith. I'm one of those who likes messiness. I'm a piler and not a filer. For a short period of time, I had an administrative assistant who was filling in for our normal administrative assistant who kept walking into my office and shaking her head, wondering how it was that I found my way through the piles. As I think about the biblical texts and the churches represented in those biblical texts, one of my favorite is that messy little church in Corinth. It was probably full of ordinary people like you, like me, perhaps some who taught at the university, perhaps some who were in commerce, perhaps some who were retired, children. It was in a city that was bustling and full and rich. It was multi-faithed and multicultural and probably multilingual. And what we know from this place in Corinth, we've discovered through archaeological digs and through all of the various ways in which history informs us, but what we know also about this church from Paul's letters to the church at Corinth is that it was a messy place. Not like this church, I'm sure, but like other churches, or perhaps like our denomination at times. You'll remember that in the first letter to the church at Corinth, which may have been the second letter, there were probably three letters, and we could go into all of that, but the first letter that we know about from the biblical text, you'll remember that Paul is admonishing the people, reminding them of how badly they are treating one another. There's conflict in that church and probably conflict in the churches among them. You'll remember that Christianity didn't begin as a unified source. It began with a series of conflicts, and the conflicts actually helped us discern our way into the world, our way into the future. There were people who were arguing about simple things like baptism and the Lord's Supper. There were people who were arguing about the role of women and men in marriage or not marriage, who could get married and who shouldn't be married. It's all in that biblical text. Obviously, Paul's letter, much like some of our editorials, didn't change everything, because then he had to write another letter, which is his second letter to the church at Corinth. And here we find in this letter again a reminder that, yes, there are conflicts among you, and you are called to be lights in the world as reconciling agents. Shortly after that piece of scripture which we heard read this morning is that lovely passage that says, "All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation. Such an old theme, an ancient theme for those of us in the Christian faith. And if only we could learn that message as well as we learn the messages of hate and fear. Wouldn't that change the world? Until we all become reconciled, not just with Christ, but with one another, recognizing that our differences and our diversities are reflections of a God who is beyond our imagination. Thanks be to God. We don't have to figure all of God out. Thanks be to God. So I want to suggest three things, three lessons, actually three spiritual disciplines that I want to invite you as a reconciling congregation, as reconciling people in the world, as people sent out in the name not only of this church, but of the United Methodist Church, of the Christian Church, of God. Three spiritual disciplines. The first one is the discipline of wondering and asking questions. in particular to wonder, what is God up to in this world, and where do we see God already at work? I'm old and getting older. I remember the days when we thought we would never see state laws that would allow people to be married who were same-gender loving. And now what do we have? Lots of states, and perhaps, well, we're waiting on the Fifth Court and the Supreme Court, but there are more Methodists and United Methodists living in states that have marriage laws to support same-gender loving couples as at any time in our history. The world has changed, and we see it changing right in front of us, and some of us are kind of waking up going, oh my goodness, I never thought I would see this day. And just recently, the United Methodist Connectional Table, which is in our system, an interesting bringing together of minds and intellects and spirits and power and authority to help us move forward, has suggested a new way, a third way forward beyond the no ordination and everyone gets ordained as LGBT folks. Now, whether that's the right way forward, at least it's a third way forward. It is a step in a direction toward perhaps more reconciling work. We know that people are aware of all kinds of things that they were not aware of 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 ancient history years ago. We're aware that gender is much more fluid and much more kind of changing in ways that we can't even begin to imagine, and yet ways that surprise us. God is at work in the way in which we even think about gender identity or orientation or issues of race. And yet, God is also working in ways that trouble our souls, or at least I hope in ways that trouble our souls. This is a God who says to us, Black Lives Matter, and those of us who are reconciling need to step up to the plate to recognize that Black Lives Matter, not just to recognize it, but to wonder what God is up to in that movement, to wonder what God is up to in the midst of changing lives, in the midst of new dimensions to civil rights. To wonder is one of the gifts of God for the people of God. It is a spiritual gift. Too often we try to figure out what is God thinking and what does God want us to do, instead of wondering what it is that we're seeing God already at work in the world around us, and then secondly, how do we join that work? So if wondering and questioning is the first spiritual discipline, the second one is, how do we join God at work in a world in ways that we can't even yet imagine? How do we join the God who reminds us that issues of race and class are as important in our culture as issues of gender identity and sexual orientation? And in fact, they are so connected in the ways in which structures oppress, in the ways in which we think and see people, that until we get our mind around their deeper connections, we're missing some of the work of God in the world. How do we join reconciling movements, not just in the United Methodist Church, but in all of the denominations around us? How do we act in this place to remind churches out there that there's another way? I grew up in a small town, 100 people. We had this many in church on a good day. It was Wisconsin, one church, two bars. And the one church happened to be Methodist. And in that little town, what I began to recognize was that I was going to have to leave that town in order to find a place. But my mother and father and my sister and brother weren't so fortunate. They were going to remain in that town among people who loved them and cared for them and had no earthly idea what to do with this young rebel who was part of them, who then went off to school, who partnered with a woman who became ordained in the Methodist Church, who teaches at a seminary, and my mom in particular got caught in a Sunday school class that explored the good news by a much more traditional and conservative teaching. We have to have churches that show us another way of being reconciling in the world so that that church gets challenged a bit, gets invited to think about how do we open our doors to all and when does all mean all. We need people who can pastor and work with my mom in Sunday school classes that can challenge and invite her into thinking as much as we need churches like this to be in this place who are upfront and out and open. Thanks be to God for this place. And there's a very wide gap between this place and lots of other places. So one of my questions to this church is, how do you stay in this place and keep being a beacon? Not just so that others will come and join you, but keep being a beacon to others in this conference and in this city and around this part of the country, that there is another way to be church. How will you teach your children not to fear and hate? And how will you teach those around you that there is another way, a reconciling way, to live in the world? The spiritual discipline of wonder, curiosity, questioning. The spiritual discipline of acting, being engaged, speaking out, studying, worrying, discussing, debating, taking stands. And then there's this wonderful spiritual discipline of sitting for a while and gathering yourself together and finding the resources spiritually to nourish the courage that sits way down deep. You see, it takes a lot of courage, I think, to be out and open in the world. Even as an institution, as a church, it takes courage to get up in the morning and to say, once again, I'm going to work on dismantling these structures of oppression. I'm going to combat racism. I'm going to work on heterosexism. I'm going to work on genderism. It takes courage to get up in the morning sometimes and say, how will I find God at work in the world and how will I join that work? And in order to keep that courage alive, we have to be reminded. We have to be reminded that others have walked this path before us and that others continue from behind to move us forward. The generations and legacy of nameless people whose souls were in jeopardy because they sat in a church that preached hate and fear. That legacy continues. And if we are to be people of faith, we have to find ways to turn to one another, to welcome one another, to be at peace with one another, not to agree with one another, but to be at peace in our disagreements and in our diversities, and to still take stands and to say, you and I deeply disagree, and let's come to the table together. That's the reconciling way. So it's this part of the church in Corinth that struggles with divisions that Paul speaks to when he speaks not only about the power of love, but also the reminder. The reminder that there is something, there's a treasure in clay jars, a treasure in the ordinariness of our lives that will not let us lose hope or lose faith. Listen again to the words. We have this treasure in clay jars. It belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We live by faith. You see, to be a reconciling people in the world and to invite others into that pathway requires us to sit with one another, to hold on to one another, to strengthen one another, to find wisdom together, to seek out the presence of a God in a world that is chaotic and troubling. We all know the statistics. Teenage suicide among persons, young people, young adult suicide, teenage suicide, or persons who struggle with gender identity, sexual orientation, higher than normal. Rates of alcoholism, rates of domestic violence, higher than normal. People who live within closets, within closets, within closets don't dare speak about the things that happen in their homes. We are crushed. We are perplexed. And yet we do not lose faith. Because this is the God who says there is a way into the future, and it's called reconciling. We live by faith that we may join together to transform the world in the way that God hopes. I give thanks for this church, for its representation in this place and in this conference and in this world, for its continually reaching out to figure out what's next, how do we move, how do we keep going. Because what we know is that the work is not done yet. We know that state laws about marriage equality will not change the opinions and feelings of some people. The work is not done yet. We know that racism continues to exist. But we also know that there's a God who supports and sustains. So may you dig deep to find that spiritual courage and strengthen it and sustain it and nurture it in a way that leads you forward to join God in transforming the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.